Let us feel the peace and the bliss which passeth all human understanding. Let us relax in Him, giving ourselves to Him in complete and full surrender. And let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
To you tonight from St. Mark chapter 11, beginning with the 11th verse. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. There's an old English maxim that says, the test of a man is not when he puts on his armor, but when he takes it off. The test of a man is not when he picks up his Bible to read it, but after he puts it down. It is very easy to pick up this Bible once a week, to go to church once a week, and to feel that you have done your duty to God. But the real test comes after you have left the church, after you've put your Bible down, when you've gone out into the world. What use do you make of the things which you have learned? Do you put these things into practice every moment of your daily life, or do you forget? And do you go backward? Is God of paramount importance to you? Do you do all things, all works, all actions? Do you dedicate all thoughts to Him alone? Or is it purely for self-gain? The rich man, the poor man, the harlot, the thief, all desire but one thing, and that is happiness. The rich man has the great desire for gold. The poor man has the desire for bodily comfort. The harlot has the desire to express herself in body pleasure. The thief wants those things that belong to others. But all of them are seeking this one thing called happiness. And they do not realize that life is passing them by. And that the thing that their soul cries out for, yearns for, is not these things which they overindulge in, but actually God, who is to be found within themselves. How stupid man is as he goes about his way, doing all of the things which appeal to his physical senses. And when human pain comes to him, he cries out in great agony. If he is not able to have his desires fulfilled, he thinks that he is indeed put upon. But this is not true. Because when the human in us suffers, we know that this is that which is necessary in order that the divine be born within us. Many times we are given these tests. We think many times that the enemy who stands before us is our enemy in truth, and that we are being terribly abused. But this is not so, because that enemy is merely making us measure up to what we should be. You know, it is said that faith without judgment has no value. And in tonight's chapter, we read, where whatsoever we shall ask believing, we shall have it. Whatsoever we shall pray for believing, we shall have it. And yet, how many things do we ask the Lord for and pray to Him for, saying that we believe? And sometimes we do. And yet these things are not fulfilled. Now this seems to be a contradiction, but in truth it is not. Because until we have the faith which the Christ had, this universal Christ consciousness, which knows that God is in every atom of space, in every speck of flesh, in every speck of dust, then we are not in a position to have that faith without judgment. We must use judgment in the things that we ask for. For instance, a woman invests $100 in an oil field, and it turns out that the people who tried to sell this oil stock to her were trying to defraud her, and she lost all of her money. When the chain letter craze was going on, there were many people who were told to not to break the chain, or they would break faith with their friends. And yet many found that this faith was broken, this friendship was broken, these chains were broken. So God gave us judgment, and He gave us discrimination. And we must learn to use these things at all times. This whole earthly plane is like the heavenly hierarchy, because we advance at certain levels. We go through each grade of school. We learn the lessons, we take the tests, and we pass the examinations. And then we're promoted to the next grade. And so it is in the school of life. And always we have teachers. Whether we have teachers in the human form, or whether we have the teacher of experience, we have teachers. And we have lines of organization. And while we are at that level, we must not go beyond that line of organization, because if we do, we get ourselves into trouble. So when we have learned everything that we're supposed to learn, then God touches us on the shoulder and He said, "Come, my son, it is time to go on to the next grade now." And so we are promoted. And we keep on advancing. The man to whom we report at once is perhaps raised up or perhaps leaves for some reason. And then we fill that place until finally we become president of a company in the human sense, or until we become a master in the religious sense. Because each of us is put here but for that purpose, to become a master, just as the Christ was. Coexistent with him in God. And when we say master, we mean master of ourselves. We must become masters of ourselves under all circumstances. This is a very difficult thing to do because we are so easily swayed. We who are on this higher path, and even the people on all paths, have a built-in conscience, that still small voice that tells them what they are to do and what they are not to do if they will be but listen. This is John the Baptist in action, because he represents the intuitive quality in man. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit is constantly pouring. And you will remember that Jesus went to John the Baptist and asked him to baptize him first. So he knows that this intuitive faculty must be at work at all times if he is to attain the higher consciousness and to do the job which is put before him, to walk the way of the cross, to go through the crucifixion, to descend into hell, and then to ascend into the heaven of his own being, where he will become one with his Father. The pure teachings of the Christ are indeed mystical. And if we can but realize that the Christ, the Savior, is in every single one of us, if we would look to him, that Savior, within us, where we are told he is to be found because God and the kingdom of heaven are within, and we know that if Christ comes out of a cloud of heaven the second time and that heaven is within us, that he will only come when our consciousness is made ready to receive him. When we are so dedicated to God in thought, word, and action that there is nothing else but him, our beloved. We look for that supreme love, that supreme happiness through other forms, to our fathers and through our fathers and mothers, our children, our friends, our relatives, only one day to come to the point where we will realize that God is the source of all love, that he created all of those whom we love, that he is love itself. And only when we can become one with him will we realize this supreme union with the infinite beloved. There are few indeed who have risen to the point where they are satisfied with the love of God alone. They must go through all the various channels of love and experience it before they realize the supreme love, that which never fails, which always satisfies. Lucky is the individual when he realizes this. But the householder can attain this state, one who is married as well as one who is not. Because if you will love each other with the love of God, placing him first upon the altar of your hearts at all times, you will go to him together. Every action, every word, every thought will be dedicated to him. And you will realize that he is your constant companion, that there is none else but him. Many people live by high principles. They are given the truth about certain things, and they want to express this truth. They want to live by it. This is a principle to which they must adhere. But then when they try to put this thing into practice, they get into trouble sometimes. And they don't like to find themselves buffeted around by all of these forces that come at them because they have tried to express the truth. Remember that if we are going to follow the path of the Christ and be his disciple, we must be willing to go through and accept all things for his sake. And when we are not, then sometimes when this road gets awfully rough, we start to rationalize. We make excuses for the individual or the situation. And we try to understand what makes them act and react the way they do, instead of sticking with the original truth or principle as we saw it. Each one of us at one time or another is guilty of this. And we must learn at all times to be a witness for Christ, to be a witness for truth, for God. Because there is no greater joy or bliss in this world when you, through meditation, go inside and find the fullness of this bliss which is of God. You can build a house upon a rock, but if you plant a seed there, it will not grow. So in order to find God, we must first become a seeker of God. We must be willing to put aside the thought of earthly gain, of earthly wealth, of earthly name and fame, and put Him first, and serve Him in all who come before us. But again, let us use judgment and discrimination. Remember that the apostles were told to visit the various houses, to try to give them the gospel. But if they refuse them the first and the second time, then to take their peace and to leave that house. Now the house that is being spoken of is the house of God, the temple of the living God, your house and mine. It was so wonderful in the days when man used to greet his fellow man with the words, "Peace be unto your house." And this was the true meaning of it, that they wanted you to experience the peace which passeth all human understanding. It would be a wonderful thing if we would forget all of this outer cloak that man has put on, this face that he has built that he wants to put forth to the public, and that we could truly know each other, the true self, which is the God self, because it is the human self which keeps us in darkness and ignorance at all times, and it is the God self which puts us through the experiences, no matter what they are, in order to take us to the realization of what we are in truth. The experiences which come to us are all from God, because if He is the sole doer in the universe, being omnipotent, which means all-powerful, then there is no power in this earth except God's. There is no presence on this earth except His, because He is omnipresent or equally present everywhere. There is no wisdom on this earth except His, because He is omniscient, which means all-wise. So that which seems to take us away from God is only that which eventually will take us to God, because it will bring to us the experiences which are necessary, every experience which is necessary to accomplish that fact within us, to make us realize the beauty and the wonder and the glory of God. God does everything for our highest good. He is constantly performing miracles. Our whole life, every day, is a miracle. There's a story told in India about a man who was a servant to a king. And through the grace of God, one day he was made to want to know God, to seek God. And this urge came upon him so strongly that he could no longer serve the king. So he asked for his release, and he went up into the Himalayas to meditate. And he stayed there for many years meditating until one day he attained his God realization. And he came down again to be among the people. They have many sacrifices over there which serve a definite purpose. They have a fire sacrifice, and this was, according to this man's idea, to be for the welfare and the prosperity of all the people, so that they might have what was necessary in order to enable them to seek God. So he sent out notice that he would like donations for this sacrifice to help him in his work. And among others who received this request was the king. So without paying too much attention to what it was for, he made the donation. So when the day for the sacrifice came, he, along with many others, attended the service. And he was most impressed by this man of God, who had changed greatly since the time that he was his servant, so greatly, in fact, that the king did not recognize him. So after the service was over, the sacrifice was over, the king went up to him and he knelt at his feet. And he said, "O holy man," he said, "I hear that you have great powers in God. Will you please show me a miracle?" And the servant said to him, "Sire, you have already seen the greatest miracle." "Why, how is that, holy father?" he said. "Well," he said, "at one time I knelt before you as your servant because you were my king. But because I made God my king, today you are kneeling before me. This is the miracle." And so it is, you see, that no matter how poor we are, what our race, color, or creed might be, if we have this great love of God in our heart, we can't help but have it for all people everywhere. And we can't help but accept God's will in all things that come to us and bless God for every moment of our existence. Even the bad things, immediately look and say to yourself, "What is the lesson to be learned in this? What is God trying to teach me?" And it may be just that you have this experience so you will realize and understand what the other person goes through and have sympathy for them and try to help them in whatever they do. Perhaps that was what was to be accomplished. Perhaps through the experience that comes, you are stripped of all worldly fame and wealth or name of honor. And yet through being stripped of these human things, you at last turn your face toward God. And you learn to go to Him in the silence of your own soul and find how truly wonderful He is. You would not have done that if you had not had that experience. So every experience which comes to us is but for that one purpose alone. Don't accept that which you do not feel is coming to you. Examine yourselves carefully and say, "Is this criticism earned? If so, then make the necessary changes within yourself. But if it is not, then just refuse it and go about your Father's business. Remember that you should resist temptation, because the satanic force will come and will tempt you in every form, in every guise. That force will come and say to you, 'You have made a good effort, but really you are trying to do too much.' Wouldn't it be better, for instance, if you're an alcoholic, if you just eased into this thing and from whiskey perhaps just taper off on beer or wine? But still, you see, you are drinking alcohol. You are taking things into your system which are going to affect it adversely. And you are definitely affecting your mind adversely, because in order to go to God, you must be completely pure, physically, mentally, spiritually. And you cannot continually take these poisonous things in your system, which affect not only your physical health, but your mental health, and hope to accomplish your purpose in God. You must put Him first. And if you work in harmony with His law, putting Him first, all the things that are necessary for you, all the wonderful things of God's kingdom will come to you. Now, you may have a little debt to pay because of the things that you have done in the past. And so many people say when they start on this path, "Well, I've tried so hard. I've given up my bad habits. And yet I'm having a terrible time." This is because they still haven't paid their old debt. But the day comes if they will continue to do their very best, asking nothing in return but only the privilege of serving God in man and God within themselves, that debt will be paid, and then the good starts to flow in. And you will see that all of these good things will come to you. Everything you touch, your least wish, your least desire, will be granted, and the things that you are really yours will come to you. And not before. God saves us many times from being burned in the fires of our own desires. So, these things that we ask believing, that we are told we will receive, let us be careful of them. Let us always add this one statement, Father, if it be thy will. Because I have but one desire, and that is for communion with thee. Never mind all of these things in between. Because if I have thee, O Father, I will have all things, because thou art all and in all. Remember this wonderful mantra that he gave me. Lord, let my attention be forever fixed upon thee. Let me love thee. Let me serve thee. Let me worship thee alone. Thou art all and all in all. How wonderful this is. And when this experience comes to you, this feeling of the Holy Spirit that takes hold of you, this whole world changes, never to be the same again. But we're not willing to do this. We're always looking for the things in the outer. We're not willing to take the simple advice of the spiritual teacher or the guru. There's a story told in India about that, about a young man who went to a guru, and he asked him how he could find God. And he said, my son, by a very simple method, just take his name constantly, keep it upon your lips, and you will find him. But this was too simple. The man thought that he had to have great intellectual knowledge. He had to have complete knowledge of the Vedas and the Shastras, which are the Hindu scriptures. So he went to still another one. And he said, sir, I would like to have you teach me the Shastras and the Vedas, because I want God realization. So without question, this guru taught him all of these things. So he became very learned in connection with these holy scriptures. He spent 12 years in this effort. And at the end of this time, he still had not found God realization. So he went to his present teacher and he said, sir, I've been studying with you for 12 years. He said, I know all of these scriptures until I feel letter perfect in them. Why is it that I do not have God realization? And he said, knowledge is not what gives it to you. He said, if you will but take the name of God, then you will find him within you. And the young man thought, what a terrible waste of his life. 12 years gone. And from the lips of the second guru, finally he heard that which the first one had told him. Take the name of the Lord constantly. Pray unceasingly. We know that this has been done by men. And in our own time we have known both Master and Swami Ramdas, who have taken the name of God, who have gotten God realization, who have reached the heights of what is possible for the human being. Many people, when they don't get what they desire, give up. They no longer try to live up to the best within themselves, to do the best, because they were doing it because they expected a reward. And when that reward was not forthcoming, they let down and said, what's the use? I didn't get what I wanted anyway, so now I'm going to slack. Now, they don't realize that the very individual they're hurting is themselves. That's the only place where anybody is being cheated, right in this house. Because if you want to become the highest, the greatest of which you are capable, then you must fulfill your destiny in God. And if you don't know what it is to be, shake up the whole world until you find your particular job, what God wants you to do. Meditate every single day. Plant the seeds of spirit within your soul. Water it with concentration and fertilize it with meditation until you go beyond the mind into that stillness, beyond duality, where there is that God alone, that God of silence, that God of bliss. And only there will you find him. You should place him first in your life, not last, not give him the residue thereof, or you will be like the fig tree that Jesus spoke of, and said that it would never bear fruit, that it would wither away, because the human death will be the only thing that is left. And yet we are told that if we put our feet upon the path of Christ and follow in his footsteps, enduring until the end, we shall have a crown of everlasting life, because we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the soul, we are that eternal self, God. You can prove this to yourself when you go to sleep at night. and you lose all consciousness of the world. And yet when you awaken in the morning, there is the world again. So the world hinges on one thought, just one. It is the same thing when you take an anesthetic, when you undergo an operation, or it is necessary to give you this so that you may not feel pain. You lose body consciousness, but when the experience is over, you come back in the body consciousness. So we are not dependent on this body. That spirit was there all the time. It existed. It will be there eternally, because God is spirit, and he is, he was, he always will be that alone which exists. Know ye not that ye are God, said the Christ. How wonderful this is. And yet we think today that if we are told that we can attain the same status, the same stature as the Christ, that this is sacrilegious. Only one man could do it. One man who lived 2,000 years ago. What a waste of human endeavor if this were so. It is possible for every single man, woman, and child in this whole universe, regardless of faith, regardless of color, regardless of creed, to find this oneness with God if they will but make the effort. And make the effort we must. This is the beginning of a new year. Why do we not make it the beginning of a new life, filled with love and service to God? Turn your face away from worldly things. It isn't that you shouldn't have these things, but that you must not be attached to them nor possessed by them, but to realize that all things come from God, and use what comes to you in his service, and you will find that these things will come to you, they will flow to you, and the more you use them and give out of them, the more you will have, and you will realize this wonderful joy of giving and of receiving. Giving and receiving. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. So let us make a new life in this new year. Let us not fail to keep the resolutions we make. But you know, man, when he makes these resolutions, thinks, I want to get rid of this bad habit. And the full attention is on the habit, and therefore we give power to it, and it rises up and fights us. Because whatever you concentrate upon, you give power to. But if you take your mind off of the habit you want to get rid of and put it on God, then the habit automatically will be absorbed in God consciousness. It cannot fight. It cannot resist. It cannot exist at all, because there is nothing there to fight with. There is nothing there but God consciousness. So let us keep this one saying of Masters which was so great in our consciousness. I will reason, I will, I will act, but guide thou my reason, will, and activity that to the right thing that I shall do in accordance with thy holy will. And if we will do that, we will find this kingdom within. And in truth, we will have faith with judgment. And whatsoever we shall pray for, believing, we shall have it. That is the promise of the Christ, and he never has broken his word. So let us remember this. The sacred word is Om. Papa put it before his mantra, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, which means victory to God, victory to God. But he put this word Om or Amen first, because this was the plus that was needed. There's always a plus in everything, that certain something which hovers around us, waiting for us to take advantage of it, to realize the presence that is standing there waiting, that it is there lighting our way, directing, guiding us in all things. Let this be our thought. Lord, let my attention be forever fixed upon thee. Let me love thee. Let me serve thee. Let me worship thee alone. Now let us pray to him. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the glory.
I feel the wonder and the glory.
Thy wonderful presence. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father, may Thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts. And bring them to Thee. Be blessed with health, with happiness, and with the bliss of God during this coming year. Having Him, you will have all things.